Welcome to the No Sports Report, a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. My name is Jensen Karp, and I'm a sports fan. So things haven't been real fun over the last few months. It's weird to see Stephen A. Smith just yelling about insignificant thoughts he has. He was mad Scottie Pippen looked bad in The Last Dance. He's mad that people think Garoppolo is an elite player. He's screaming about Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert's friendship. He's like 2 minutes away from a rant on airplane food. Someone give that guy an actual game to bitch about. It's getting weird. On the other end of the spectrum, I'm talking to athletes and sports industry professionals about what they're doing in quarantine, hoping to figure out if they miss competing as much as I miss watching it. This is the No Sports Report. Jarrett Stoll is as much Los Angeles as the Randy Newman song about loving it. Sure, he spent 13 years in the NHL with stops in Edmonton, Minnesota, and New York, but it's his contributions to the Los Angeles Kings' 2012 and 2014 Stanley Cups that truly stand out. His overtime series-ending goal in Game 5 of the 2012 Western Conference Finals against the Phoenix Coyotes led the team to the franchise's first cup ever and helped cement his name in the annals of Los Angeles sports. Which helps explain his current gig as the Kings' development coach, working with young players on how to step up their game and handle the intense pressure of the NHL. In this episode of the No Sports Report, we talk to him about how he'll help guide players through this work stoppage and into next season, how much his wife, ESPN analyst Erin Andrews, is still hustling, and his 2011 episode of MTV Cribs. And yeah, I have a business idea for him. All on this episode of the No Sports Report.
Call from
Jarrett Stoll.
To accept, press 1.
Jarrett.
Hello.
Hello. I guess my first thing is to figure out how you are doing, if you're making it. If you need help, you could tap the phone twice at any point. I will come to your house and fix this as much as I can because we are all stuck in quarantine. Where exactly are you?
Wow, I appreciate that offer. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm here full time with my wife and our dog. So it's we're getting by. We're getting through day by day. It's and everybody's in the same boat. So it's definitely an interesting time, a tough time, but we're somehow finding a way to get through everything.
I mean, I feel like I have a 10-month-old. So I have it. I feel kind of easy in a sense that like I just like hand him like an old 1980s TV guide and he just rips it apart until it's completely torn. With you, you're with your wife, Erin, and your dog, Howie. How incredible is it to have man's best friend during quarantine?
Well, it's special for sure. It's great to have him around. And for him, he hasn't been around both of us for long stretches like this and probably forever. So he's 3 years old, but it's good to, you know, if we're having a tough day trying to get through this or bickering at each other or whatever, you look at him and his tail's wagging. He's always happy. He wants to play and definitely going for a lot of walks that kills some time. And, you know, it's really nice having him around the house for sure.
We've all sort of stole our pets' gimmicks. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I have a cat and a dog and they live this life. They just sit around a couch. What are we going to do next? They have no idea. Now we've treaded on their territory.
I know, right? We're sleeping in, we're taking naps, we're watching a lot of TV shows over here, and I look over and I catch him kind of doing the same thing. I watch a lot of golf, and he sees that white golf ball on the TV, and he's watching it with me. So yeah, there's a lot of similarities for sure that go on. But like I said earlier, it's just it's good having him around the house, and you want to look over and play with them and wrestle with them and rile them up and throw them in the pool. It kills some time.
Absolutely. I did read you guys have been binging shows. You and your wife, Erin Andrews, and the dog are all quarantined together. I read that she was really connecting with Schitt's Creek, and you, on the other hand, almost a polar opposite watching Narcos.
Exactly. Yeah. When we split up into our different shows, and I'm downstairs, she's upstairs, and Narcos is my show right now. I'm in the middle of it, and her show's up Schitt's Creek, but we're Killing Eve's a great one. We love that. Mm-hmm. We did finish. We're up to date on Ozarks, which I'm sure a lot of people have watched. Right now, we're in the. We just started Billions a couple weeks ago, so we're into that one as well.
Yeah, you guys are diving in the deep end. Speaking of TV, I want to get this out of the way early. Address the elephant in the room. The question everyone wants to ask: what was it like to be on an episode of Cribs in 2011?
Oh my God, I haven't heard that in a long time. It was fun. It was cool. It was my first, maybe my second year here in Los Angeles, and growing up in Canada and playing hockey in Canada for many years, and then getting traded here. You know, we always watched it on MTV, and it was just something that when they came to me, and I just had built my house, and it was something that I'm like, yeah, it'd be pretty cool to do. So yeah, that was fun. It was fun. I don't know if I regret it or not yet, but
you shouldn't. You shouldn't.
It was something that was interesting.
I don't have many friends who've been on Cribs. I think I might have one, but I've never been able to really dive deep into it. But here, you had a teammate living with you at the time. You were living that bachelor life, right?
Yeah.
You had a paddleboard on your wall, very large paddleboard.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. You had what every man boy wants. I'd still take one in my garage if my wife would let me. The Golden Tee arcade game.
You know what? I don't have that anymore. I sold that a couple of years ago, actually. But that was, we had a lot of fun with that for sure.
Yep. That's, I get it. I had an arcade game in my bachelor pad too, man. It's the victim of marriage. But the biggest one you had, and I remembered it when they were like, oh, do you want to interview Jared Stoll? I didn't even think of the Stanley Cup. I thought of the idea that you had a urinal in your house.
Oh. Yeah, it's not something that gets used a lot, actually, because it's downstairs. It's in a bathroom that, you know, I don't use that often. So, but whenever I'm down here and, you know, I have to kind of somewhat go, it's always nice to slide over and use it.
Living the life, man. That's the dream. So I know you too, you and Aaron are both big Disneyland fans. You guys even got engaged there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about what it would be like post-pandemic in a theme park?
It's scary to think about that because every theme park is just, it's so much fun. Everybody's having such a good time. It's a happy place. And it's always, that's why so many people go. And that's why every theme park is so busy, especially Disneyland. So actually, Aaron just told me right before I got on the call that it sounded like Disneyland was going to start sometime in July, opening up or taking reservations or something like that, she was telling me. So, you know, that's maybe a decision that'll come out soon, but nevertheless, it's going to be less people and it's going to, you know, they're going to have to figure something out, but it's going to be so weird in every aspect, you know, just with occupancy and, you know, with restaurants, how many people can go in, and it's definitely going to hit theme parks a lot for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I assume the first run, at least for a few months, is going to be like 25% of capacity. I mean, so
yeah.
I guess people who do want to take the chance or go to a theme park and keep socially distant, they're going to have a park to themselves.
Yeah, if you really want to go, and I don't think there'll be many 3-hour wait times to get on Indiana Jones, but if you want to kind of roll through it, that's definitely a way to do it, but also a little bit risky.
I know. I'm going to let the others do it and then just follow their lead. I don't know if you've heard the rumor about Disney World. They are saying that it's possible that an NBA season might end up being completed there.
I did hear that. It's a pretty good setup for it, I guess, with all the hotels. And, you know, you can have everybody quarantined within a couple miles, basically, and having a couple of event centers there to play. But, yeah, the logistics are going to be interesting. It's going to be something that's going to take a lot to figure out. But, you know, if you have an area like that you can put so many people up, then that'll be great.
So you guys, your house must be pretty busy right now. Your wife continues to work through this, doing tons of live kind of like Zoom things for television. She launched a sportswear line basically right before the pandemic. Has business lessened for her? And how are you staying busy while she's taking all these calls and doing this insanity?
Yeah, she's got a lot of stuff going on. I'm looking right now. She has a little setup at her desk and has has the professional microphone and has the backlight thing that, you know, every woman needs the proper lighting, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Be on camera or be on Zoom. But yeah, she's almost every day doing something. So, and for myself, I'm in player development with the Los Angeles Kings. So, you know, we have a call pretty much twice a week for sure with our organization, with our little group, and going through our players and, you know, season review type of stuff. So yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing. A lot of these days I'm getting up at between 9 and 9:30, which is great to sleep in. And not mad at that.
Like you said, you're working in player development and a talent scout for the Kings. You've worked with top prospects like Carl Grundstrom and Matt Luff. I mean, does this halt in a season, does it take away from them as young superstars in their game experience? Will this affect their growth at all?
Well, yes and no. You know, you got some guys that are in that wheelhouse, that age group that, this is their prime to develop. And, you know, guys that are just coming out of juniors or just coming out of college, guys that have just signed. I And I was with one of our kids that came out of Wisconsin and just signed his contract. He flew in, signed it, and then that's when everything shut down. And he's like, well, what do I do now? And they're like, well, you can stay here for a couple of days, or we could fly you back to Chicago right now. And he's like, shit, I'll stay here for a couple of days and fly me back later. But just a crazy time. You know, you want to work with these kids. That's all the pride. You know, it's such a prideful job for us to develop these kids and hope they make the NHL and play some NHL games and help the organization. So, you know, for us to not be able to get our hands on them and vice versa, these kids, they want to learn. They want to be here. You know, they don't want to be training at home. They want to be training here in Los Angeles in front of the organization and try to become a pro. So yeah, it's tough for these guys.
Yeah. I was at that game right before, I guess, shut down the Devils game where Mikey Anderson debuted with his brother.
Oh yeah.
Which was like kind of an amazing game. And that dude probably was in LA for like 5 days before he had to stop playing.
Well, for those guys, it's actually a really good setup because the minor league team is out of Ontario, California. So it's one of those things where if they get called up, they're basically like walking right across the hallway. It's the same practice facility in El Segundo that the AHL, the American Hockey League team uses, and the NHL team. So for those guys, they just it's great for call-up situations where they can, you know, play NHL games. So yeah, for him, it wasn't like he was flying across country to get here, good. But yeah, nonetheless, it was his first NHL game against his brother, and it's got to be a pretty special moment for him and his family.
That's right. You said you keep in touch with other coaches and stuff. Are you keeping in touch with these young players as well during the break?
Yeah, we are for sure. We each have, it was six of us on the development staff, so we each have like five or six players that we are assigned to, and you know, we keep in touch with them, see how they're doing, see how their family's doing, how the workouts are going. Yeah, just kind of just be a friend, be a, you know, whether it's a mentor or a coach, not really a coach because we're not coaches. We're, you know, I guess we're called development coaches, but it's not like we're teaching systems. We're just teaching little details, little fundamentals of the game that these particular players need. And, you know, if they feel like they need to call one of us, you know, they're comfortable to do so. And we're also vice versa. We're comfortable to call them and just have a chat.
Sure. You participated in NBC's Hockey Happy Hour recently. This is the quarantine content for the NHL. You guys did a video chat where you and some former teammates like Trevor Lewis watched the famous Game 5 of the 2014 Stanley Cup Championships. Was that an experience? I mean, number one, it can only happen because of the pandemic, but was it fun for you to sort of revisit it and have your teammates there in what is now the norm of a Zoom call?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was great to see that. And I've seen clips of the actual telecast, but not a full game, watching the full game back from NBC on the telecast. So it was, yeah, it was cool to hear, you know, the commentators, you know, say certain things, and you're seeing replays of that game, replays of little, you know, plays within the game. And yeah, to watch it with Alec Martinez and Trevor Lewis, and Alec ended up scoring the goal to win the Stanley Cup for us in double overtime. So, you know, to watch it with him and just get chills, it just brings you back to, you know, to those good times and memories that we'll never forget and always have with us. So it was, yeah, it was definitely fun to watch. It was, you know, I would love to watch every playoff game that we were in, especially the ones that we've won, of course.
Did you notice anything that bothered you? Where you're like, oh, like, did you notice a mistake?
I can instantly tell if I had my legs that night or not, you know, like I was, you know, the first shift I'd watch, like, oh, I was flying that game, or, you know, or I had a, you know, I was maybe a little bit tired. I could tell right away how I was skating or how I was moving out there, if I had some energy, had some jump or not. I don't think I made any mistakes that would really cost us. So that was good to see.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's weird that you're more likely to see one of your replay games on TV now than any of the players you're currently working with in their games. Like, it's like you're the only hockey on TV. So that is pretty cool to see replays.
Yeah, we've seen a bunch, especially that Chicago series in 2014. It was the Western Conference Final. It was probably one of the most exciting series that I've ever been a part of. And we were up 3-1 on them, and they came back. And then we had to go to Chicago for Game 7. And we were down by like 2 goals, I think, twice in that Game 7. And we found our way to get it to overtime and score in double overtime to get to the Stanley Cup final. And that they showed that game a couple times within the last couple months. So it was fun to watch that game because that was just a crazy game for all of us. And to be able to watch that back, that was awesome.
Have you been able to watch that Game 5 against the Canucks yet?
late at night in bed, I get on YouTube for some reason, and all of a sudden it brings you, the rabbit hole of YouTube. You keep watching certain things, and I came across that clip a bunch. So, yeah, I have watched the clip, not so much the full game.
Wow. It's my favorite, truly winning. I mean, you had the series-winning goal in OT. It is glorious. More with Jarrett Stoll after this. Right now, Feeding America is working tirelessly to ensure our most vulnerable populations, like students who are out of school, the elderly, individuals whose jobs are impacted, and low-income families, continue to have access to food and other needed resources during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Feeding America Food Bank Network is committed to serving communities and people facing hunger in America, and their greatest need is donations and support of local food banks. This podcast is committed to donating a portion of the proceeds from the show to Feeding America, and we hope that you can join us in this effort too. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org/COVID-19. Now, here's the rest of my chat with the LA Kings' Jarrett Stoll. We talked about it a little bit already on this podcast, but it's being reported that a lot of hockey players have been staying on top of their game by rollerblading. First, is that true? Secondly, are we allowed to call them dweebs?
Yeah, that is true. I know one of my buddies down the street, he used to play for the Kings. Now he's playing with the Philadelphia Flyers. And I won't name names, but Nate Thompson is his name. But
good. Okay. Fair.
But I see he has a pair of rollerblades, and he's been going down the back alley here and back and forth. And I actually, growing up, I had rollerblades my whole childhood and rollerblading around the town that I grew up in, but don't have any anymore. But if I was a player, I wouldn't be mad at getting a pair and just wheeling around town and getting the legs going. It's totally different when you get on the ice. It's a different feeling, but
sure.
At least it's a different way of working out and being active.
You also, I mean, in your defense, you guys live in a beach city, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's kind of allowed. Have you ever imagined, and can you imagine, what playing hockey would be like, of all sports, without an audience?
Yeah, that's the thing, because you go to a hockey game live, you watch one on TV, and for me, it's exciting. I've heard a lot of people say that, you got to go to a game to really experience it and to feel the electricity and the passion and how fast the game is, how physical it is. So yeah, I think that would hurt a lot. I'm sure they're going to maybe pump some crowd music in there during the games or whatnot, but every sport, right? It's whether it's the NFL or basketball too, baseball, it's just every sport's so great in their own way. And for hockey, and you're right there, especially the people that are right down close to the glass, and you're experiencing that speed and intensity. Intensity is probably a good word for it. Once you lose that within the crowd and towards the ice surface and the players, it would be a huge difference.
And serious question here, and I ask this for real, do you think, and I know maybe you know the answer because you've played juniors and all those things, but if there is not a large audience, let's say there's no one there, do the players still fight?
Well, there's not much fighting in the game anymore, so mm-hmm. I would say no. They probably don't fight, but that would be really weird, actually. To think about it, especially if it's a really really good fight,
just pure silence.
Yeah, the benches would be going. The players or teammates would be going bananas on the bench, but that's probably about it. Yeah, that would be an odd situation.
I don't want to hear the teeth leaving a man's face. I don't want to hear the punch. Not an incredible season for the Kings, but no matter how the season plays out, really, if it ends now, whatever. But I know they have a strong young core, some players ready for call-up as well. I figured you, of all people, could speak to the future of the squad.
Yeah, it's been very good hands. I'm going to be honest right now. It's a transition period for the Kings. It is. The last couple of years have been rough, but having some top draft picks, that's how you rebuild and rebuild quickly. With these, top five, last year with Alex Turcotte, fifth overall, and this year we're going to have most likely a top five pick again. And this year's draft is the top 10 ranked players are really, really good players. And, to add those types of guys, that skill level to the organization is going to be huge. And the minor league team, the American Hockey League team in Ontario, like you said about call-ups, there's probably 8 or 10 guys that are developing really, really well and getting close to becoming NHL players. So, yeah, there's been certain articles in the last year that have come out that have ranked the organization one article was like we were ranked first, one article we ranked third, and just in, I guess, prospects, the prospects pool,
yeah,
if you will. And that's good to see. And I see it firsthand. I see the skill and the types of players these kids are and the types of players we need in our lineup in the near future here. So, yeah, we're set up pretty well. It's just a matter of these kids continuing to develop and then make that jump and make it pretty easy. Well, it's never easy to make the jump, but at least if they can come in and contribute rather quickly, that'll be huge for the organization.
Absolutely. We usually like to end the interview a bit with something positive and then something a bit stupid. So we'll start with positive. Is there anything that happens now during the pandemic? New traditions, ways that we're living that you would like to see kind of live on post-pandemic once we're allowed to leave our homes? Is there anything we've adapted to that you think should stick around?
Well, I know for myself, just like, whether it's these Zoom calls or, house parties, we're on the house party app, which is becoming pretty popular, I think. And, just having a chance to see my friends and family more on those types of things. I FaceTimed before this pandemic, but not that often. And all my family's back in Canada and my friends from where I grew up. So I don't see them a lot. So I think during this time, FaceTime, I've seen my family, my friends a lot. And I think going forward, hopefully that I'll continue to do that and stay in touch with them that way.
Great. All right. Now for the stupid, I want to give you some suggestions. It sounds like you know what you're up to in quarantine. Sounds like you're having a good time out near the beach. But here are some suggestions of things that I think you could maybe pick up, things that might pass some time. Are you ready for these?
Sure. Shoot.
Okay. First, build a family tree. Have you ever done that before?
No.
Okay. It's one of those things that no one ever has time for. Like, why would I do that? But it's kind of important. You can use like things like Ancestry.com or 23andMe or any of those services. But it's just kind of a good way to start, work with what you know and then figure out the things in between. And there are Etsy pages that have like professional posters you can make. And then there it is, your whole family in one place. You and Aaron sort of have all your grandparents and cousins and all these things. I do have one warning. I do know someone who did this and found out that his grandparents were cousins, which is 100% true. So keep that in mind.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, the golf course is starting to slowly open up around the Los Angeles area. So I don't know if I'll have time to do this family tree you're talking about.
All right. Well, you're definitely not going to like this next one then, because this is going to take up a lot of time. I've only seen one James Bond movie, so I'm suggesting people watch all the James Bond movies. How many have you seen?
I've probably seen most of them.
There are, just so you know, there are technically 26.
Technically 26, kids, and I haven't seen most of them.
I've only seen Skyfall, but people love Casino Royale on the new side. Obviously, all the Sean Connery ones. I mean,
yeah.
How many do you think you've seen?
I think maybe I've only seen maybe five or so. What I'm really into, anytime I see any Jason Bourne movies on TV, I watch them all the time.
Yeah, those are great.
Jason Bourne or the National Treasure movies with Nicolas Cage.
Oh, come on. Oh my God, I'm a Cage head, man. He's my guy.
I love history, and I love just, especially American history and, some of the things that go on in those movies. It's, every time those two movies are on, it seems like I always just sit down and watch them like over and over and over again.
All right, I'm going to mark off James Bond. I'm going to put watch all Nick Cage movies.
Yes.
All right, that's good. Lastly, now, we know everyone's been spending a lot of times in their home, obviously. We have to assume that people have gathered some home improvement ideas, things they want to change. So I have a business idea for you. I know you're busy, but at least you'll be willing to hear this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's something to capitalize on everything. And now we talked about it early in the interview, and it's important to go back to the urinal from your 2011 episode of Cribs. It was ahead of its time, something every man can use. So I think you should offer the service to come show up, Stanley Cup champion. He walks in, he assesses the situation from a safe social distance, and then you install a urinal wherever you want. I suggest a bathroom, but it's up to you. You'll be at the forefront of this trend. I think you walking into people's homes and installing a urinal.
Can I bring a plumber with me?
Yes, more for advice. Yes, you'll learn through experience, because I already have a name for the business.
Okay.
It's Jared No Stalls.
Jared No Stalls? I got a maker stall?
No. See, a urinal doesn't need a stall. People usually need to get stalls. You're telling people just be out in the free, man. Be out in the open.
Be out in the free? Yeah, we don't need a stall in this house. Yeah, okay. Okay. That would kill about a week, maybe a little longer to try to figure that out.
Well, that one at least got further than James Bond and and the family tree. Well, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today, and stay safe. And I'm so excited for the future of the Kings, and so happy to know you're involved in it, because you truly are a hometown hero here, and we love having you around the organization.
Oh, awesome. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. It was good to catch up and chat with you. Thank you.
The No Sports Report is produced and distributed by Treefort Media. The show is executive produced by Kelly Garner, Lisa Ammerman, and me, Jensen Carton. Our series producer is Matthew Kugler. Tom Monahan is our senior audio engineer and sound supervisor, with additional production help from Tim Schauer, June Rosen, and Haley Mandelberg, with production and editing by Jasper Leek. Our theme music is composed by Spielkus. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please subscribe, rate us, and review us on Apple Podcasts. You have nothing else to do. Send it to your friends, tweet, share, post about it, do whatever you can. And please visit feedingamerica.org. And if you're able to make a donation, any amount will help make a difference. And you can learn more about other ways to help on their website. For more information on the No Sports Report, links to the socials, and for our show transcripts for the hearing impaired listeners, please go to treefort.fm. Be safe and be well. The No Sports Report is a production of iHeartRadio and Treefort Media. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.